A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Here's what Daniel wrote to us. He recently provisioned some telephony infrastructure using Twilio, something he's been planning for a while. He likes keeping a business number separate from his personal one, and he's been looking for a replacement for having a second SIM card. He's had an inbound virtual number for some time, but the thing holding him back from cutting off the business subscription was wanting to associate it with WhatsApp. When he set up the virtual number, it could receive SMS and validate with WhatsApp. But rather than set up WhatsApp Business, he associated the line with the WhatsApp Business API. He figured this approach might involve a steeper learning curve, but would ultimately be more scalable and professional, and allow for integration with other Twilio products. He wants to talk about the landscape of interaction tools that small businesses like himself, a solo digital consultant, can actually use for the WhatsApp Business API, and exactly what extent the API surface can be integrated programmatically. He knows that WhatsApp Business and Business API exist as separate products, and that you have to release a line from the business app to associate it with the API. But he thinks you can still use an existing WhatsApp account to manage a shared business inbox. Then he asks us to consider two business partners who want to both manage client messaging via a shared inbox on the business API. Are they best served using WhatsApp or standalone clients to collaboratively manage those customer accounts?
So let's unpack what you actually bought into when you associated that line with the API. Because Daniel made a real decision there. He hit the fork in the road and chose the API path, and I think he chose right, but the implications are worth tracing carefully.
He chose right for his use case. The question is whether that generalizes, and I suspect it doesn't for a lot of small businesses.
That's exactly the tension. The WhatsApp Business app is this remarkably capable free tool, up to 10 devices on a single account, shared inbox, quick replies, labels, product catalogs, and it's designed for exactly the kind of small merchant who needs two people looking at the same messages. The API is a different animal entirely. It's a developer platform. It's metered per conversation, it has template message requirements, it has a completely different integration surface. And the phone number you use for one can't be used for the other without a release. And reassociate dance.
Which Daniel already navigated. He got the virtual number, validated it with SMS, and instead of downloading the business app and claiming the number there, he pointed it at the API through Twilio. That's the moment where most people would have just installed the app and been done in 90 seconds.
And he did it deliberately. He said he figured the steeper learning curve would pay off in scalability and professionalism. That's the bet. The question is what exactly he bought with that bet and what he still needs to build himself.
So first, let's get the product landscape straight, because the app and the API aren't the same thing, and conflating them is where most of the confusion lives.
Right. The WhatsApp Business app is a free mobile and desktop client. You download it, you verify a phone number, and you get a business profile, a catalog, quick replies, labels, and the multi-device shared inbox. Up to 10 devices can be linked to the same account, and any of them can send and receive messages. It's peer-to-peer. There's no role-based access control, no audit log of who said what, no assignment routing. But for two partners who just need to both see and reply to client messages, it works. It's free, it's built in, and it requires zero code.
And the API?
The WhatsApp Business API is a cloud-based messaging platform. It doesn't have a user interface at all. You interact with it through a REST API, send messages, receive webhooks, manage media and templates. It's metered per conversation. Meta defines a conversation as a 24-hour window that starts when a business replies to a customer message. Inside that window, you can send and receive freely. Outside that window, you can only send pre-approved template messages, and those cost more than in-session replies.
So the API isn't a product you use. It's a product you build on top of.
And that's the first thing Daniel needs to internalize. When he associated his Twilio number with the WhatsApp Business API, he didn't get an inbox. He got a programmatic surface. Sending a message is an API call. Receiving a message is a webhook. There's no app to open. If he wants an inbox, he has to build one or pay someone else who built one.
The line release constraint is the other thing worth nailing down. Daniel mentioned it in passing, but it's the gotcha that trips up a lot of people. A phone number can only be associated with one WhatsApp product at a time. If you've registered a number with the WhatsApp business app, you have to delete the account, release the line, before you can register it with the API, and vice versa.
And there's a cooldown period. It's not instant. You delete the business app account and makes you wait before you can register that number on the API. The exact duration varies, but it can be anywhere from a few hours to a couple of days. Daniel got lucky in a sense. He started with a fresh virtual number that had never touched the business app, so he skipped the release dance entirely. But for someone who's been using the business app for 2 years and then decides to upgrade to the API, that migration isn't seamless. You lose your chat history, your catalog, your labels. The API doesn't import any of that.
Which is a very way to design a platform. Two products that share a brand name, can't share a phone number, and don't share data.
The coexistence model is real, though. Does allow the same business to use both the business app and the API on different numbers. So you could have your main business number on the API for programmatic messaging, and a secondary number on the business app for casual customer chats. And the API can be linked to an existing WhatsApp business account for shared inbox management. That's what Daniel was getting at when he said you can use an existing WhatsApp account to manage a shared inbox. The API itself doesn't have an inbox, but you can connect it to a WhatsApp business account and use that account's multi-device capability as the front end.
Wait, walk me through that. How does the API connect to a business account for inbox purposes?
It's through the WhatsApp Business Management API. You create a WhatsApp business account, that's a business entity, not the app, and you link your API phone number to it. Then you can add people to that business account with different permission levels. Those people can use the WhatsApp business app on their own devices to send and receive messages from the API connected number. It's not the same as the app's native multi-device mode. It's a separate mechanism, but the effect is similar. Multiple people can see and reply to the same conversations.
So there's a path to a shared inbox without building anything. It's just a different path than the one Daniel seems to be on with Twilio.
Right. And the Twilio path is more powerful but also more demanding. Let me lay out what the API surface actually exposes through Twilio, because this is where Daniel's question about programmatic integration really lives.
Go!
Twilio's WhatsApp API gives you the core messaging primitives. You can send text messages, media messages, images, video, documents, audio, and location messages. You can send and manage message templates, which have to be pre-approved by and follow specific formatting rules. You get webhooks for inbound messages, delivery status updates, and some error callbacks. And you get the conversation-based pricing model, which Twilio passes through with its own markup.
What's the pricing actually look like for a solo consultant?
It varies by region and conversation type. A business-initiated conversation, meaning you send a template message to a customer who hasn't messaged you in the last 24 hours, costs more than a customer-initiated conversation. In the US, we're talking somewhere around a cent and a half to 2.5 cents per marketing conversation, and a bit less for service conversations. Twilio adds maybe half a cent on top. For a solo consultant handling a few dozen conversations a month, the API bill is going to be pocket change, literally under a dollar.
So the cost isn't the API. The cost is the integration effort.
That's the real price, and it's not trivial. To get a minimal working setup, Daniel needs a webhook endpoint that can receive inbound messages from Twilio, parse the JSON payload, extract the sender's number and message body, and do something with it. Then he needs a way to send replies, an outbound API call to Twilio's message endpoint with the recipient's number and the message text. That's the skeleton. But then he needs to handle conversation state, which 24-hour window is open, which customers are waiting for a reply, which messages are from new leads versus existing clients. He needs some kind of persistent store for message history, because the API doesn't keep it for him. He needs to manage media uploads and downloads. He needs to handle template submission and approval if he wants to send proactive messages.
All of which is doable. But it's not a weekend project.
It's a weekend project if your weekend is a month long and you've done this before. For someone who's comfortable with a web framework and a database, the core loop, receive webhook, store message, display in a simple dashboard, send reply, is maybe a few hundred lines of code, but the edge cases multiply fast. What happens when a customer sends a message while you're typing a reply? What happens when two partners both try to reply to the same customer at the same time? What happens when a webhook delivery fails and Twilio retries it?
The shared inbox problem. Which is where we should go next?
Yeah, let's tackle that. Now that we know what the API surface actually exposes, the shared inbox question is where the real-world friction lives.
Daniel's scenario is two business partners managing client messaging through a shared inbox on the business API. He's asking whether they're best served using WhatsApp itself or standalone clients.
The answer splits based on what they actually need. If both partners just need to see incoming messages and reply to them, and they don't need automation, CRM integration, or conversation assignment, the simplest path isn't the API at all. It's the WhatsApp Business App's multi-device mode. One partner registers the number with the business app, then links up to 9 additional devices. Both partners have the app on their phones or desktops, both see the same inbox, both can reply. It's free, it's built in, and it requires zero code. The only limitation is that there's no way to know who replied to what, and no way to assign conversations. It's a shared bucket.
And if they need assignment and tracking?
Then they need something on top of the API. The API path for multi-agent shared inboxes is, you build a backend that receives webhooks from Twilio, stores conversations in a database, and serves them through a dashboard that supports multiple users. Each user logs into the dashboard, sees the queue of conversations, claims or is assigned conversations, and replies through the dashboard. The dashboard sends replies through the API. This is what business solution providers, BSPs, do. They build the shared inbox layer so you don't have to.
And the BSP landscape for small businesses is actually pretty crowded now.
It is. Twilio's WhatsApp API is the raw developer path. You get the API, you build the rest. But there are managed platforms that sit on top of the API and provide a shared inbox UI out of the box. Wadi is one of the bigger ones. It's designed specifically for small businesses with a shared team inbox, chatbot builder, and CRM integration. Respond.io is another, more focused on omnichannel. It pulls in WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, Instagram, and email into a single inbox. Chatwoot is the open source option. You can self-host it or use their cloud version, and it gives you a shared inbox with team assignment, labels, and canned responses.
What do these actually cost for a two-person operation?
WATI starts around $50 a month for a team of two, and that includes the API access they handle the BSP relationship with. IO is similar, maybe $40 to $60 a month depending on the plan. Chatwoot's cloud version is cheaper, around $20 to $30 a month for a small team, and the self-hosted version is free if you have somewhere to run it. All of them charge based on the number of users and conversation volume. So for two partners with modest messaging volume, you're looking at $30 to $60 a month.
Which isn't nothing for a solo consultant. It's a real line item.
It is. And that's why Daniel's decision to start with the raw Twilio API is interesting. He's not paying a BSP premium yet. He's paying Twilio's per conversation rate, which is pennies, and he's investing his own time in building the integration. The question is whether that time is better spent on a custom dashboard or on a $30 a month managed solution.
For a solo consultant who's also a developer, I think the build decision makes sense, up to a point. You learn the API service, you control the data, and you can integrate it with whatever else you're building. The moment a second person joins, the calculus shifts. Now you're building a multi-user system with authentication, assignment logic, and conflict resolution. That's not a weekend project anymore.
And that's where the hybrid pattern starts to look really attractive. Use the API for inbound routing and notifications, webhooks, autoresponders, CRM sync, but have a human in-the-loop dashboard for the actual conversation management. Something like Chatwoot or a custom React app that sits on top of your API backend. The API handles the messaging plumbing, the dashboard handles the human part.
Daniel's Twilio setup is exactly the foundation for that. He's got the number, he's got the API association, he's got the webhook surface. The next step is a minimal webhook handler that logs inbound messages and lets him reply from a simple dashboard. He can add multi-user later if he needs it.
There's one thing the API doesn't give him, though, and it's worth naming explicitly. Read receipts, typing indicators, presence. Those are app-only features. The API doesn't expose them. So if Daniel builds a custom dashboard, he won't know whether a customer has read his message, and the customer won't see when Daniel is typing. It's a small thing, but it changes the feel of the conversation. The WhatsApp business app gives you that full messaging experience. The API gives you a transactional channel.
That's a meaningful trade-off for client relationships. The typing indicator is a social signal. It says, I'm here, I'm responding, give me a second. Without it, the conversation feels more like email.
That's one of the reasons the business app's multi-device mode persists as the right answer for a lot of small businesses. If you're a consultant whose value is in the relationship, the rich messaging experience matters. If you're running a notification system or a support queue, the API's transactional nature is fine, maybe even preferable, because it's more structured.
What should you actually do with all this? Let's boil it down to a decision framework.
First decision, do you need automation, CRM integration, or programmatic control? If yes, the API is worth the setup. If you just need two people to see the same inbox, the business app's multi-device mode is the pragmatic choice. It's free, it's built in, and it gives you the full messaging experience.
Second decision, if you're going the API route, start with the raw API, Twilio or direct integration, before paying for a BSP. You'll learn the surface, you'll understand the pricing model, and you can decide whether the managed layer is worth the monthly fee. A lot of small businesses jump straight to a BSP and never learn what's happening underneath, which makes them dependent on a platform they don't understand.
Third, and this is the line release gotcha, plan ahead. If you think you might want the API later, don't associate your number with the business app first. Start with the API, because releasing a number from the app is a destructive operation. You lose your chat history, your catalog, your labels. If you've already got a number on the business app and you're considering the API migration, budget for the downtime and the data loss, or get a second number.
For Daniel specifically, the Twilio setup is the right foundation. He's got the API association, he's got the webhook surface. The next step is a minimal webhook handler, something that receives inbound messages, stores them, and gives him a simple interface to reply. He doesn't need a full BSP yet. He needs to get the core loop working and see where the friction points are before he pays someone else to solve problems he might not have.
If he does bring on a partner later, he's got options. He can build a multi-user layer on top of his existing backend. He can plug in Chatwoot or a similar open source dashboard. He can migrate to a managed BSP if the volume justifies it. The API doesn't lock him into any of those choices. It's the common substrate they all sit on.
The shared inbox question Daniel asked. Two partners, business API, WhatsApp versus standalone clients. The answer is, standalone clients if you need assignment and tracking, WhatsApp if you don't. The business app's multi-device mode is a shared bucket. Everyone sees everything, everyone can reply, and there's no way to know who did what. For two partners who trust each other and just need to stay in sync, that's fine. For two partners who need to divide a queue of 50 conversations, it's chaos.
The chaos isn't hypothetical. I've talked to small business owners who tried to run customer support through the business app's multi-device mode with three or four people, and the result is duplicated replies, missed messages, and no accountability. The moment you need to know who's handling what, you need assignment logic, and the app doesn't have it. The API path, with a dashboard that supports assignment, solves that.
One last thing to keep in mind as you build. Where is this platform heading?
Is steadily expanding the API surface. They've added richer message types, interactive buttons, list messages, product messages. They're building out AI features for automated responses. The trend is toward making the API more capable, not less. And the line between the app and the API is blurring in some ways. The coexistence model, the ability to link API numbers to business accounts for shared inbox management. I think we're heading toward a world where the distinction is less about features and more about interface. The app is for humans, the API is for machines, and the platform connects them.
The shared inbox problem remains a UX gap the platform hasn't fully solved, though. His answer is basically, use a BSP, which is a polite way of saying, we're not building that, you figure it out. And that's fine, it creates a market for tools like Wotty and Chatwood. But it means the small business that wants a shared inbox without code is still stuck between the free app and the paid BSP, with no middle ground.
The middle ground is what Daniel is building, a custom integration that does exactly what he needs and nothing more. It takes more time up front, but it gives him control over his data, his costs, and his feature set. And as the API tooling gets more accessible, better SDKs, lower code platforms, AI-assisted development, that middle ground is going to get wider. Solo operators can increasingly build what used to require a team.
The steelman against everything we've said, the WhatsApp Business App's multi-device mode is free, built-in, and already does the shared inbox for up to 10 devices. Telling a small business to build a custom API integration or pay a monthly BSP fee is over-engineering a problem that already solved. For the vast majority of two-person operations, the app is sufficient, and the API is a distraction.
That's fair, and it's true for a lot of cases. The app is genuinely good. But it falls apart the moment you need anything beyond manual messaging, automated onboarding sequences, CRM sync, conversation analytics, assignment tracking. The API isn't about replacing the app's inbox, it's about building systems around the messaging. For a solo consultant who wants to scale, even modestly, the API pays off the first time you automate a follow-up that would have fallen through the cracks.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. This has been My Weird Prompts. If you're a small business wrestling with WhatsApp tooling, we hope this gave you the map. Now go build. We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.